Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Bank First is a locally owned bank that makes decisions right here at home. Local decisions, local support, and local folks who care if your kid made the team. Stop by your local Bank First branch to learn more. Bank First, neighbors, bankers, friends. Bank First is a member FDIC and equal housing lender. Bank NMLS 454063.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
And we're glad you are. Welcome back. Super Talk Eagle Hour is back on the air from the Southern Bancorp Studio, rainy Oak Grove, Mississippi. Here comes Kelly. Kelly's been praying for rain.
Yeah,
here it is.
We need it, man, at least in our neck of the woods here.
Kelly's been praying for rain like Mississippi State does if they're about to play Southern Miss in baseball. Praying for rain, Kelly.
Yeah, the expectations for Mississippi State next year are terrible, I'm sure.
Right. Southern Bancorp Studio, that's where we're at. Glad you're with us this afternoon. Opening segment of our show again today, sponsored by Movie Star Restaurant right here in Oak Grove. 25 years serving the Pine Belt with wonderful food, Southern cooking, 6 days a week. They do take Saturday off. Give them a break on Saturday because Sunday's a big day, of course, at the Movie Star.
Yeah, it makes preachers a little bit reluctant to speak any longer than 12 o'clock.
A lot of the congregation's thinking Movie Star. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Get a seat.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We're glad you're with us today and glad to have Movie Star part of our family. Also happy to have Davis Wilson on the show with us. He is the sports writer at the Hattiesburg American. I met Davis in Montgomery during the baseball tournament. He and Dima and I and a couple of other guys roughed that out for a few days. This kind of reminds me of that, Dima.
Yeah, this now, is. I was about to say that. Outside kind of reminds you of what we saw in Montgomery.
Yeah, that's why you're watching Earth versus Flying Saucers Friday afternoon at 2 o'clock in your hotel room. Yeah. So, Davis, we're glad to have you on board, man, and welcome back. Summertime kind of slow for guys in your industry, is it not?
Yeah, it's a little bit slow. Luckily, though, I get to cover news in Hattiesburg as well, which has been, giving me something to do. But I definitely miss the sports, yeah.
There's certainly been a lot of news in Hattiesburg over the last few weeks.
Has there not? It's a little disturbing, too.
Yeah. But the fact, Davis, that you went to the University of Missouri would mean that you yourself are a little slow, right?
Oh, listen to a guy from Iowa, Dave. See, Davis, we invite guys like you on the show, and he instantly starts insulting them. So we apologize on behalf of the Eagle Hour.
Since this is the last time you'll appear on here after Kelly just insulted you, I do want to, before we get into anything serious, I do want to tell Bob and Kelly that I did introduce Davis to Jenny's Ice Cream out in Montgomery. And
what did you think, Davis?
Oh, it was good, and Dima hyped it up a lot, so I was ready to... Yeah. I was ready for some good ice cream, but that was great ice cream.
Did he tell you the Kelly story when he introduced Kelly to that ice cream brand?
I don't think he did.
Well, we were gonna split a quart of it, and I took a couple of bites with my spoon, and Dima took a couple with his spoon, and Kelly ate the rest of it.
Look, the only reason was I detected some salmonella.
Well, let me just say this. Me and you used a spoon. Kelly didn't use a spoon. And that's when we knew that
correct.
The ice cream was done.
Yes, correct.
I did too. It was a salad spoon, but what difference does that make? I didn't want you guys to be poisoned.
Okay. Well, Davis, if you're still with us, Davis, I'm very grateful. I'm going to assume, were you at Media Day? You should never ask a question you don't know the answer to on the air. But were you at Media Day?
I was at Media Day.
Well, give us your overall view, and your I guess that would have been your first time. Your impression of the presentation that the Sun Belt makes at its football Media Day.
Yeah, you know what? It was my first Sun Belt Media Day, and I really enjoyed it. You know, I thought they did a really good job putting on a good event, and one thing that I thought they did a particularly good job at was just kind of the access that they give to the media there is really nice. You don't have to kind of fight to talk to players or talk to coaches. They were really good about setting up one-on-one interviews with coaches or players or a commissioner or anything like that. And So I enjoyed it a lot, and I feel like they did a nice job of just accommodating us media.
Davis, I kind of felt kind of a little bit weary, and I know that you just arrived in May to cover this school, but, you know, coming out of spring football, it kind of, everybody was kind of like, ooh, I don't know, you know, just because of the roster turnover and things. But I'm just curious to hear your thoughts, because it was under my impression, you know, that after speaking with Blake Anderson, talking to Mathis Haygood, talking to Davis Dalton, I kind of felt a little bit more confident in the direction of the program moving forward.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I think, you know, obviously I got here in May, so I wasn't here for spring ball.
Sure.
I had never met Coach Anderson before. But getting to talk to him, you know, I think that, you know, Southern Miss fans should be excited about him. I think he's, you know, he's obviously a proven winner. He's done it in the Sun Belt. He's done it elsewhere as a head coach. So this is a guy that has won before. And yeah, I agree with you. I think I enjoyed talking to him. He was generous with his time. And yeah, the two players that he brought with him were also, you know, the energy, I think, around the program is maybe better than I expected. They're not treating this season like it's a lost season. They're ready to go. And obviously the amount of newcomers is going to make things difficult. But those guys, those three guys that we talked to at Media Day are not, you know, considering the season a loss yet.
Davis, you are a graduate of the University of Missouri. I joked earlier, but the Mizzou has a outstanding journalism school, it's certainly one of the better ones in the country, if not the best. But in the old days of journalism, it was simply the facts, kind of like the old Dragnet show. But now it's all about getting clicks. You not only have to give the facts, but you have to be entertaining. You have to engage people. To me, that would be a couple of balls to juggle. How do you handle and how do you approach your job?
That's a great question. I think it's so interesting because the industry, journalism as a whole, is changing a lot, and especially on the sports side. Sports journalism is changing a lot. Like you said, it's not like people are just going to buy a newspaper and reading what's on the page. They're, you know, scrolling online, and they're, you know, the way that, you know, the internet kind of pulls stories is you have to have, there are certain things that it wants to see in your story for it to show up in the search engine or whatever. So it's a tough balance of, I'm going to tell this story with the facts, and also I'm going to tell this story so people read it, because that's what we depend on here in this industry. It's a interesting challenge, and it's kind of, you know, it's kind of starting right now. We're kind of at the forefront of it a little bit, but it is interesting, and I think the industry will change a lot just in terms of where the priorities are and getting people to read the stories. So, you know, the way I go about it is I try to find a balance in, you know, doing, you know, just telling people what they need to know, but also, you know, if certain things aren't done, the internet is not going to show my story to an audience, so I have to be careful of that as well.
And all journalists, I think, would like to report good news, but there are times that you have to report things that a university, for example, is not going to find a very attractive story to them. Does the fact that you're not from here, would that help you have to approach that story, the fact that you're not from here? Is that story easier to write?
I think it is in some ways. You know, I feel like, you know, I covered the University of Missouri when I was there my senior year, so I covered their football team, and sometimes it was difficult to write tough stories because before I was a reporter for them, I was a big fan, and so that it's kind of a, you know, as a journalist, I have to put my fandom aside and be able to tell those stories. But it's certainly easier here where I'm new and I have a fresh perspective on the program and the university and the city and everything. But I will say that the people, you know, with the athletic department have been really great to me. So I certainly wouldn't want to mess up any relationships I have there, but I do think it would make it easier for me to tell an objective truth, even if the story is maybe negative.
Davis, your predecessor, as I recall, had done some work at Penn State. And he talked to me one afternoon about how refreshing it was to cover sports here, how regimented everything was at Penn State, how difficult it was to get access to anyone at Penn State. Did you see a similar comparison at Missouri, which, again, is a much bigger school than Southern Miss?
Absolutely, yeah. It's been, I would say it's been, I would use the word refreshing as well. I mean, at Missouri and you know, just bigger schools like that, there are a lot of, I want to say roadblocks, but it's just they want to protect the program, they want to protect their players and everything, and, you know, to a degree that can be, that's great, but there also needs to be a balance of, you know, helping out your media. And when I got here, the first day I was here, I was covering, I think it was the Southern Miss Georgia Southern series, and I met Jack Duggan, and he has been totally great, and I would agree. It's much more fun to cover. It's been a lot of fun to cover sports here, just because of the access that we're given on the beat, and I am very appreciative of that.
We've got Davis Wilson, sports journalist for the Hattiesburg American, on the Super Talk Eagle Hour this afternoon. We'll stick around, chat a little more.
Yeah.
All right. We'll bring Davis back in the next segment. Talk about journalism, Southern Miss football upcoming.
I won't insult him anymore.
No. I think his degree was probably a lot harder to obtain than the one you and I have. We'll be right back.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, welcome back. This segment of the show, of course, is sponsored by Eagle Tire West. I visited with Matt a little bit yesterday afternoon, and happy to announce they have renewed as a sponsor, so they will continue to be with us. And we love having local businesses like Matt and his dad have Eagle Tire West.
Yeah, Matt, he talks to me all the time. We talk all the time. And he says the same thing pretty much every time. When are you going to pay me what you owe me? Hey, it's an icebreaker.
A lot of people have those conversations yeah. with you, don't they? They're located out on Highway 98 West next to Smith Motor Company. Drive a little further on down the road, you'll hit MCS Home Center. We're going to be out there in about a month, I think, with a football kickoff remote. Home repair, home remodeling, home construction, everything you need for your next project, home, lawn, or garden, is available at MCS Home Center in Hattiesburg. What else do they sell, Kelly? They sell something that's very personal to you.
Well, you know, they've got the Lawn and Garden Center out there now, too.
I'm talking about your glasses, Kelly.
Oh, my peepers?
Here, Kelly, over here. Kelly.
Hey, wait a minute. We beat Medicare.
Gosh. If people haven't already turned off this program,
they probably have. Let's get back to Davis Wilson.
Is he even still there?
He actually has something pertinent to talk about. Okay, Davis, I want you to give us your breakdown of what you see coming with the Sun Belt. And I'm going to ask you, what do you see as the top three Sun Belt football teams this year?
That's a good question. I would say it's tough to argue with James Madison. I know they've got a new coach, but their coach is from Florida, right? They're getting a guy who has SEC experience and things like that. I think Old Dominion's going to be a good team again. And I think Troy. I think those are probably the three that I would pick to finish top. But it's really a deep conference. That's one of the things Coach Anderson and I talked about was when he told me that when he was the coach at Arkansas State for all those years, there were usually some programs in the Sun Belt where you could kind of, if you didn't turn the ball over, you'd win the game. But he said now this version of the Sun Belt is so deep that there's not really any games that you can mark down as a win. So mm-hmm. It's going to be a really competitive conference, I think, once again.
Well, I'm going to ask you this and then throw it to the guys here. The team I don't hear anybody talking about, I think it's going to be better than everybody thinks, is Marshall. I think Marshall will have a very competitive football game. What do you say?
I would agree with that. I think Dima and I were talking to a Marshall writer at Sunbelt Media Day, and I think we all kind of determined, we all decided that this was a team that was kind of flying under the radar in terms of what people what people's expectations were. So, yeah, I agree with you. I think they're going to have a really good season.
Damon?
Well, one thing about Marshall that I just think is a little interesting, they return almost all their players, which is very rare. Not almost all, but certainly the most in the Sun Belt. And week one, they play at Penn State. And Penn State, of course, new coach, entirely new coaching staff, a ton of new players. You know, Marshall's returning everything they're returning, especially the quarterback who's the preseason offensive player of the year. I really like Marshall. And when you look at their schedule, yes, they have a pretty favorable schedule, but the only problem with it is they have to go to James Madison and to Old Dominion. So, you know, if you could split those games, preferably beat James Madison, you'd feel good. But certainly getting the two tougher teams on the east side on the road is a brutal draw.
And Troy, for sure, in the West. But another team to watch in the West, I think, is Louisiana. Because when you look at, if you talk about turnovers, the not turnovers like fumbles and interceptions, but I'm talking about roster turnovers, that roster, they only brought in seven guys, Louisiana. So they're pretty much all intact. Now, they don't have a bona fide quarterback, which we all know that's the bell cow of all positions. But I think other than that, Louisiana's set pretty well. And I think in the West, they've been a little bit under the radar.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah,
but they have Lunch Winfield. You know, that's a really good quarterback. Yeah. You know, that running quarterback who started middle of last season came on, and certainly they're expecting bigger things out of him going into next year. I'm curious, Davis. You know, when you look at Southern Miss's schedule, and just take out the Auburn game, obviously, but if you looked at their schedule, what do you think would be the game that you would point to that would be kind of the defining game early, at least?
Well, I will say that I think early on, I think we talked about this as well in New Orleans, but the UConn game to me, that game is in Hattiesburg.
Sure.
And UConn, obviously, a couple of years ago, I remember they were not. I mean, they, for a long time, this was a really bad program. They've turned it around. This is a team. They are also undergoing a coaching change, so that's always something to monitor. But I have, you know, when I'm looking at these games and I'm picking results, I don't know what to think about this game, because I think UConn could be a tough test for Southern Miss, and that game being at home, I think that's going to be an interesting non-conference battle. And then I guess the other one I would say is your Sun Belt opener at Troy. I mean, that is a really tough way to start the slate, and obviously going on the road to do it will be tough. But you know, if they can manage that game somehow, I think that's when maybe you start to think this team's better than we thought.
Absolutely, I think it's UConn as well. It reminds me of a couple of seasons ago when I hate when group of five teams schedule like this when they go FCS and then Power Four, because then you really don't know how good the team is until week three. But they did this a couple of years ago. They played somebody and then, like Florida State, but then they played USF on that Saturday night game, and this just reminds me a lot of that.
I think the UConn game, I think you have to put an asterisk by it for this reason. And this, again, is going to sound really critical, but you got these blue bloods from Connecticut, you know, up there, big-time Yankees. They're coming down here in this heat and humidity. There's no way that UConn gets through four quarters.
Is it an afternoon game? I don't know.
But it's early enough, even if it's an early evening game, it's going to be hot and humid, and you can't practice for that when you're that far north.
Davis, and now, Kelly, don't say anything else about the young man's alma mater here. This is a serious question.
No, well, I told how good Missouri's school was.
I want to take you back a few years, and this doesn't have anything to do with Southern Miss, but, Davis, is it fair to say that when Missouri was picked for the SEC – it was seen by a lot of people as an odd pick, an unusual pick geographically. Were people in Missouri surprised at the news that the programs were moving to the SEC?
That's a good question. I think people in Missouri were really excited about it because, you know, at the time, obviously, the Big 12 was still kicking pretty good, but it wouldn't be even 10 years later, I think, that the conference, you know, Texas, Oklahoma leave for the SEC. I think Missouri was pretty excited to, you know, join the SEC there with Texas A&M. Obviously, geographically, it's an odd fit, and I think other SEC programs like to talk about how much Missouri does not belong. So I'm used to my fair share of Missouri insults. I've got a thick skin for that now. But I think people in town were really excited about it, and I'm not sure if they were. I'm not sure about surprise, but I do think that was something that made them pretty excited, because at the time Missouri was a really solid football program. They still had Gary Pinkel running things, and then, you know, upon arriving in the SEC, they played in a couple championship games. So, they were excited, I think.
Well, geographically, they're not the outlier anymore. Now you've got Oklahoma and Texas. I mean, that has absolutely, and Texas A&M, absolutely nothing to do with the southeastern portion of America, right?
And actually, some of those schools were in the old Southwest Conference.
Yeah.
Arkansas. Yeah. Being one of them.
How did the Big 12 go away to the point that it did? Because it, one time, I think, was an absolute premier conference.
I agree with you. So I grew up in Dallas. I grew up actually a TCU fan, so I was watching Big 12 games every Saturday. I love the Big 12. It went away because you have these giant schools in Texas and Oklahoma that want more money than everybody else. They, you know, Texas had the Longhorn Network that I think, it was hard to come to a compromise with the conference in terms of TV stuff. And it seemed like for a while that something was going to happen with those two schools, because they were the two premier programs just based on brand and name in the conference. And when they left, I think it was kind of a scramble between the Big 12 and the Pac-12 to see who's going to survive. And obviously, I think the Big 12 did a really good job. And you look at the conference now, it's obviously, it doesn't have the Oklahoma or the Texas, but it does have a lot of really fun, scrappy programs. So I do still think there's something exciting to watch there. But I agree with you. It used to be my favorite conference to watch, and it's sad that it kind of dispersed a little bit, but I think they've done a decent job of keeping teams together.
It was always an explosive conference. I mean, games were, you know, exciting. 38-35 games, that sort of thing. Yeah, I agree. Hey, man, great conversation, Davis. We really appreciate you coming on the show, and I want you to know you're welcome on our program anytime.
Thank you, guys. I always enjoy coming on, and I appreciate you you giving me the chance.
All right. Davis Wilson, everybody. Sports journalist from the Hattiesburg American. And I told you, man, I was impressed with all you young studs out there in Montgomery. I'm kicked back with my feet up on the rail watching baseball, and you guys were actually working. It was very impressive to see.
Well, I don't know. It was fun.
Not anything I wanted to do, but I enjoyed watching y'all work.
And just don't touch our Social Security, right?
Yeah.
They were very kind to the old man. They let me sit amongst them the entire time. I enjoyed their company. We'll be right back.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. I want to thank our good friends at Forest Healthcare for all they do on our program. Forest Health reminds you that keeping up with your favorite team is fun this time of the year. But don't forget, you are the most important player. Be sure you get an annual physical. Be sure your health is as good as it can be. Forest Health can help you. Expert medical care closer to home. ForestHealth.org. Also, I want to thank our friends at Genesis of Hattiesburg for their support of our program, the official auto dealer of our show. Their sedans and SUVs are gorgeous, and Mr. Grubbs and Kevin Mullins do a great job serving this community. So if you're in the market for a fine vehicle, I would suggest Genesis of Hattiesburg on Highway 98 West.
They are gorgeous, and I know that because that's all I ever get to do is look at Bob's. I don't get to touch it. I don't get to sit in it. I don't get to...
Hey, guys, I'm going to tell you both something. Now, we've made a lot of fun of the Hattiesburg American. I really hope that Davis Wilson that they'll let him stick around and cover Southern Miss sports for a while, because he's a good young journalist and, as you just heard, a really sharp young man. You're shaking your head no. You don't think it'll happen.
He'll be gone by December.
But I think, unfortunately, Dima, I think you're probably right.
But I don't necessarily, to be fair, I don't think that's necessarily the Hattiesburg Americans' fault.
No.
The fact that this kid has got, and again, I kind of joked about Missouri, but I'm telling you, between it and Northwestern,
yeah,
two of the finest journalism schools you're going to see, and that diploma is going to carry him a long way.
He's a sharp.
That's what I'm saying. It's not a knock to Davis. It's that, Gannett, which is the parent company of Hazard American USA Today, they move these journalists around interchangeably.
Yeah.
And they just want to get somebody started out somewhere and see how he does, and then they'll elevate
him. But you hear what I'm saying. I mean, you would like for a young man like him to be the Gannett guy that covers Southern Miss athletics.
It was Media Day last week, and the AAC has its Media Day tomorrow, and some interesting developments in St. Petersburg tomorrow when they hit the stage. Dima, tell us about that, and then I want to ask you guys each a question. Go ahead.
Well, if you don't have anything in the morning, if you're just kicking back and maybe thought to play golf or something, I don't know, turn your television on to ESPN Plus about 11 a.m., because you'll get to watch Will Hall take the stage for Tulane, and then directly after Will Hall, Mr. Charles Huff for Memphis. And I just think that'd be a quite an interesting watch.
Isn't that crazy, the last two head coaches.
Yeah. Mm.
Isn't that crazy?
Kind of the USM sports history class, if there is such a thing.
Now, what are you going to ask us?
What I want to ask you guys is, one of the questions that we asked the commissioner at Media Day last week was, and Dima asked the question as well, was Louisiana Tech always number one on that list? And he said yes. But what he didn't answer was, if that didn't work out, what would have been plan B? So my question is, if you were Keith Gill and you had to go to plan B, would plan B be to just leave that spot open, or would you try to fill it? And if so, who would you try to approach? That's the question.
Well, if I were going to try to fill it, I think my first effort would have been to get UAB in the Sun Belt. Regionally good team. I mean, regionally, right.
Mm-hmm.
Competitive teams, good university, big medical school. Would have been, I think, UAB would be a nice addition to any conference, really.
Yeah, I just don't see UAB going down, because I feel like the American Athletic is up. But I would definitely agree with you. I think my first call would have been to Jacksonville State. Just with the regional ties that they entail. They're right there in Alabama. Of course, that'd be a really good baseball addition. Their football program's continuing to trend upward. So Jacksonville State would be kind of my first call. Second call would be like a team like Tarleton State,
Out of Texas.
Yeah. Just trying to think of some local teams that, Kennesaw State maybe, but certainly Louisiana Tech to me was the obvious option. But certainly if they didn't pan out, then you'd have to go another route.
Question number two, if you had to pick.
Who would your answer be?
Well, I'm asking the questions here. All right.
You got to answer it too.
If there's going to be a move in the Sun Belt in the future, which school is the first one to exit for whatever reason, whether they're kicked out, whether they move out? Who's leaving the conference next,
JMU.
Hypothetically?
JMU.
To go to a bigger conference?
Yeah, I agree. Now, if you're asking, are you asking who you think will leave or who we would like to see out of the league?
No, who do you think will be the next one to go?
I think that's right. I think James Madison.
And how safe is Georgia State's spot in the conference?
Well, that would be, in all seriousness, that would be the first school I would drop. If I were going to drop a school and replace another, I just don't see what they bring to the table. They get 10 people at football games. Their baseball stadium is an embarrassment, even though I do hear they're building one. I mean, what competitively has Georgia State brought to the Sun Belt?
They really haven't, but does that go back to the pull that is the major television market
that
Atlanta provides?
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, and I just wish we could use it a little bit. Like, let's have media days there one time, or maybe mm-hmm. a baseball tournament there one time. Mm-hmm. I just wish we would. The Sun Belt would take advantage of some things like that. I would also look for a team in Florida, maybe, because I know the big
always yeah.
right. Because I know the big argument
West
is,
Florida.
Sure, I know the big argument is always about, like, for example, like they don't want to move the baseball tournament to Pensacola because they don't have a team in Florida, which doesn't make any sense to me because the basketball tournament's there. But they don't want to pay the tax to Florida, which is a state that no college is in. So, yeah.
And you talked about Georgia State building that new field right next to Turner Field and actually on the same property that the old Fulton County Stadium was on. And they're going to preserve the same home plate location that Hank Aaron, when he hit his 715th home run, it's going to be the same kind
That's
of layout.
Cool. That's cool.
So, and is not, going back to the baseball tournament, would not Atlanta make more, because that is more centrally located for the coastal, for the East Coastal teams.
No, I think that would be awesome. I would love it in Atlanta.
All right, now, I got a question for you two guys. If there was one change you could make in the Sun Belt, what would it be?
Just one.
One.
You're talking about the overall direction of the Sun Belt?
You know, location of tournaments, direction, whatever you want to say.
We got to learn to hit a curveball here, Dima,
I don't know. That's a tough one. If I could only change one thing. I mean, it's complained about enough, so I'm just going to say it. I would move that tournament out of Montgomery. I think the regulars, if I did change anything, the regular season champion should host the conference tournament.
Yes, I would. I agree with Dima. It would be to move the baseball tournament out of Montgomery. I just think that's a bad look.
Can I say my runner-up, though?
Yeah.
My runner-up would be a hybrid final weekend of baseball.
Yeah,
meaning
like that.
The first-place team plays the second-place team. The third-place team plays the fourth-best team in the last weekend of the regular season.
My first would be what Dima says, moving the baseball tournament. My second would be to stop the four-game road trips for basketball.
Yeah, I think those are both really good choices, and I mean this with all due respect. When it comes to basketball, the whole thing is just so frustrating that it about makes you pull your hair out, because what can you possibly do to make men's basketball better particularly in the landscape of sports today, when, as the commissioner himself called it, an irrational market where average players are getting way above average money just because of the nature of the sport. It's just so frustrating.
I think basketball is probably the worst of all the sports in this regard.
As far as the conference goes, yes. And what's especially frustrating, and we've talked about this before too, basketball has the lowest overhead.
Correct.
It's the easiest sport to make money
on.
The
money maker, man.
But if you don't have consistent winners and teams getting to play in the NCAA tournament and things like that, it's just going to – you're just beating your head against a wall.
What is the team you would remove from the league?
Yeah, you didn't
if you
even
could
answer any of these questions.
I think
it would be your first call
on getting rid of it.
Adding a team.
Oh, adding a team. I think Jacksonville State. I think that, and they really have about the last three or four years. Nobody ever heard of Jacksonville State. Now all of a sudden,
And who's the first you would take out?
I can see your argument about Georgia State. Mm-hmm. I don't really have any beefs against other than Monroe may pull themselves out.
I can see for budgetary
reasons they might say, look, we're just too handicapped financially. Let's go down a level where we can compete for maybe national championships, which would leave that spot open.
Monroe would be right there.
Yeah, and my next answer would maybe be one of those northern schools, Marshall, ODU. Yeah. I mean, they're just far, you know.
Yeah, Old Dominion kind of strikes me as being a team that would maybe be better at another. I sort of like having Marshall in the league because I think Marshall football still has a little cachet to it. And I think that's a good program to have in your league.
That's a trip I'd like to make
whenever they play. I'd like to see a football
at
game
Marshall. I don't think they've done that in the Sun Belt yet.
And they're one of the – and you can always go back to Liberty, too. I mean, Liberty.
Yeah. Liberty would be a great addition.
And Liberty's already on that Eastern Seaboard with a lot of those other schools. So if there's an opening in the East, for example, hypothetically, if Georgia State goes, you bring Liberty in. In the West, if Monroe were to pull itself out for whatever reason, then Jacksonville
One
State.
One change.
It's just basketball wise, and I don't know what the answer is, but somehow men's basketball has got to improve.
Could they fix the tournament in a way? You know, do you like it where it's at?
No, I actually like it because I think if you change the tournament any other way, it discounts the regular season play.
Should every team get there? Maybe.
No, not every team. Maybe the last four, who would probably, if the truth were known, those coaches would probably say, we'd rather go to the house anyway.
Just a couple of weeks ago, I was in Pensacola. I rode right by the Wahoo Stadium going down to the Big Fish Market. I looked at that stadium and thought, why in the world are we not playing the baseball tournament?
Especially,
how fantastic would that be?
Because he said the basketball tournament is already there.
Exactly, exactly. All right, well, we solved all the league problems, and we'll be right back.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Hey, a great dessert this weekend. That'd be Moe Bay Beignet Company down on Hardy Street. Those beignets are made when you walk in and order them, and they are delicious. All right, if you want to sell gold and silver, got old coins and jewelry lying around the house, we tell you every day, but it's true. Jewel Masters, the place to go. They're on Highway 98 West. Ask for Marty Vick. Marty's been buying gold and silver, I guess, for, I don't know, 15, 20 years, a long time around here, and nobody knows it better, and nobody will be fairer to you than Marty and Cindy Vick. That you can be 1,000% sure of. And if you want to cater an event, maybe for your church, maybe you got a birthday party coming up, or any special occasion in your office, in your home, in your church, well, Kelly and I have used Dickie's Barbecue many, many times. Never, ever been disappointed. The restaurant is good, Kelly. I really think, though, their forte is catering.
And last minute changes, if you want to make any last minute. They're just really good at making sure that you get exactly what you want.
Great business here. We're lucky to have these fine folks here in Hattiesburg. And I want to remind you about our podcast. That's where many of you find us every day on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube. Alexa or Siri will play the Super Talk Eagle Hour for you. News and notes, Seema.
We had two new elevations for the Southern Miss basketball team. George Brocato is now going to be serving as the assistant coach and director of player personnel, and Mike Legere will be the video coordinator, so that was announced yesterday.
So you think Legere, with a name like L-E-G-R-E, you think he's probably got some Louisiana roots?
Probably does.
Somewhere with a name
probably
like
had a little gumbo in his life.
Yeah, Legere. Yeah, basketball gets well. They finish their spring or summer, what they call it, and then they'll get a break and then come back and start in October.
This has been question and answer show, so let me throw one at you guys.
Okay,
and a shameless plug. Today I released a podcast with the great Reggie Collier. You can find it on Spotify or Apple. The perfect 10. Two questions. First, Reggie Collier, the best football player to wear the black and gold, Kelly Center.
Oh, boy, that's tough because there was another guy that played his position that was pretty good in Brett Favre.
A college now I'm talking about as a college quarterback.
Or Ray Guy.
Yeah, I know. There's an argument. I understand.
I because of the versatility of Ray Guy,
yeah, I understand.
I'd have to go with late Ray Guy.
Where do you fall there, Dima?
I mean, I think if you think of, like, overall career, you have to say Brett Favre. Yeah. But certainly as far as most exciting player to watch, you know, Reggie Collier.
Yeah. And here's my second question about Reggie Collier. We talk about this in the podcast. Was Reggie Collier a black running quarterback that came to the NFL a decade too early? Because there were only I don't give away too much of the podcast, but there were only two black quarterbacks in the league when Reggie Collier went to the Dallas Cowboys.
Was that Joe Gilliam with the Steelers?
It was Warren Moon.
With the Oilers.
And Cunningham.
Randall Cunningham. Yeah, but before that, you had Doug Williams, you know, with your Redskins.
And Doug Williams, three. You're right. And Doug Williams. You're right about that. So – Was he just ahead of his time? You think 20 years later, 10 years later, Reggie would have been Michael Vick?
No, I don't think so.
No,
I don't think so. I think when you're playing at that level, all these other intangibles that the general public wants to talk about. Well, he's left-handed, or he's Baptist, or he's Catholic, or, you know, the first whatever. Skill set is what it comes down to.
But you don't think there was an era in the NFL where they were hesitant to have black quarterbacks?
Oh, sure.
And that's what I mean.
Okay.
Did Reggie enter in that era where, I don't know, maybe you need to play wide receiver?
And again, I say no, because I think and the Cowboys, of all places, I mean, they're a pretty conservative franchise, right?
Yeah.
I mean, in the Deep South and Texas.
Yeah.
So whatever reservations might have been, which we all now were ridiculous, but his skill set.
His skill set overrode that.
Yeah, it has to.
This is way before my time, so I don't think I could give solid opinion on that, just because I just don't know.
I understand. Well, that's fair. But there was an era, and Dima, I'll tell you this, there was an era that you just did not see many black quarterbacks in the National Football
League. Joe Gilliam with the Steelers, then came along Harris with the Los Angeles Rams. Mm-hmm.
But you're right. The three pioneers were Warren Moon, Doug Williams, and Randall Cunningham. And Randall Cunningham, now Dima doesn't know who that is because he was a child then. You know who he is.
Sure.
He and Reggie Collier, very similar in their skill set.
Yeah, and
even in their build.
I was just going to say that. Yeah, if you just didn't see their jersey, you might think that they were one and the same.
Well, whether or not that's true, that's all water under the bridge. But I will say this. I don't know that anything was ever more exciting than watching Reggie Collier play quarterback at Southern Miss. He was electric.
And when you talk about what he meant to that team.
Oh, he meant everything.
And look, he wasn't a one-man show.
Oh,
look at all the other great NFL names that were.
He'll tell you that, too.
That were around him.
One thing about Reggie Collier. You start talking to him about his college career, he immediately starts talking about other players that he played with.
And I don't think sometimes that Southern Miss people really appreciate some of those. I mean, there have been some great players.
NFL players,
that have played at Southern Miss.
No question. Good podcast. He's a friend, and I think one of the truly great guys. I'll never forget when you ask him, what exactly do you do at the bank? And he looked at you and said, I'm Reggie Collier.
I do what I want to do.
Southern Miss.
To the top. Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. I want to fly like an eagle to the sea. Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.